Hey guys, thanks for joining me for this 22nd episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole, brought to you by our friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes. Special guests for this episode include Adam Richman. We'll be talking about Modern Marvel's new season coming up on February 21st. We'll also talk with country singer and songwriter T.G. Shepherd. Got a new single, I'm a Song, from his latest album, Midnight in Memphis. We'll also visit with entrepreneur, writer, and magician Andrew Main. Has a brand new book we'll be talking about, Black Coral. If you would, please take the time to subscribe, drop a like, comment, leave some feedback, and of course share with your friends. Our first guest is Adam Richman. Of course, Modern Marvel's new season coming up February 21st on History Channel. First off, Adam, always great to visit with you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Adam, tell our listeners a little bit about the change in Modern Marvels. I always think of, you know, the big docks and things out in the ocean, but changing it up with with food this time around. How exciting is that?
It's amazing. I mean, we're going to obviously branch out from food, but as a fan of the original show, to be hosting it is sort of surreal. You know, I'm a History Channel fan, so to work for something or for a network, for a show that you're a fan of is a pretty big feather in your cap. I love it. Well, this iteration of Modern Marvels, other than that, it has an actual host, it's very much a companion show to The Food That Built America, which is in its second season on the History Channel. And what we do is we focus on all of both the high-tech wizardry and the human ingenuity that go into making the sort of everyday products that are around us. So whether it's chocolate, cheese, our snack foods, our cookies, the MREs that our armed forces eat, meal kits from Blue Apron, and so on, that it's very much about how the technology has risen to meet the demand, how things have changed to meet changing taste buds. And while so much attention is always given to the big names in the industry, the Hershey's, the Heinz, the Bird's Eyes, no one really talks about the hardworking men and women that are on the factory line, on the assembly line, that drive the trucks to and from the farms, that make the real magic happen. And I consider it a very big honor and a privilege to be able to show these hardworking people as the heroes and essential workers that they are.
And Adam, for you, how much pressure do you put on yourself to make the best light, if you will, for these everyday heroes that you're featuring?
That's a great question. Massive amount, quite frankly. I think that it's very easy when you're the host of a show and you get to be like in a chocolate factory where you can taste anything, or a chip factory where you can have popcorn and cheese puffs right off the line and whatever else. It's easy to make it about my adventure. And the thing is, I feel that, you know, much like the military, people love saying how much they love the hardworking people of America, just like it's a soundbite. But they so seldom get the camera pointed at them that they need to be shown as something other than a cog in the machine. They need to be shown as the essential part of the process, because these machines and the technology employed is insane, but it's nothing without the people who build it, use it, fix it, maintain it. And I think that's the synergy. It's that as advanced as machines get, it will never be as good as a machine and a human working together to make something great together. And it's an honor. And we're filming in, you know, central Pennsylvania, which is, you know, this massive hub of dairy, of snack foods, of chocolates. So it's really great to showcase parts of the nation that don't normally get their shine, and to show people who don't normally get their chance in the spotlight either.
Now, Adam, I know as a host, obviously you've got to be on at all times. What do you do on the days where you don't necessarily, where food isn't something you're excited about that day?
I mean, I'm always excited about food, I must confess. But if I'm not filming, because the days start early and run rather long. I sure do enjoy sleeping, although I will tell you, we filmed in Spring Grove, Pennsylvania, but we were staying in Hanover, and we had one of the factories had to cancel that we were meant to film at, so we ended up with some downtime. And I grew obsessed with going to the Gettysburg National Military Park, and have become the biggest Gettysburg dork in the world, like reading books, watching specials on it on a nightly basis now.
Well, there you go. Something that came good out of it after all.
Yes, sir.
Well, again, the Modern Marvels, the 21st, 10 Eastern, 9 local time on History Channel. Adam, always want to make sure and let our listeners know where to keep up with everything social media wise as well.
Oh, well, thank you. So it's at Adam Richman, R-I-C-H-M-A-N, is how you spell my last name, on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And on Snapchat, it's OG Adam Richman. Oh, and Facebook as well, Adam Richman.
There you go. Well, Adam, always great to visit with you. Looking forward to the new iteration of the series, and hopefully catching up again real soon, my friend.
Thank you so much. Happy safe 2021 to you.
Thanks again to our sponsor for the episode, Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus. Got a great selection of Red Basket specials. Their doors are open. Protective plexiglass and masks are required to cover your nose and mouth. If you have any questions, need some new hardware, or just a new startup, give them a call or send a text at 580-471-VAPE. All right, guys, our next guest, country music legend and friend of the show as well, T.G. Shepherd, on the line with us. And first off, T.G., I appreciate you taking the time to be on the show.
Oh, Cameron, it's always good to visit with you. I appreciate you, man. How you been?
Well, I think I'm doing as well as anybody else. We're our whole family just coming out of the COVID, so we're learning a new normal just like everybody else.
Well, it's been a difficult time for sure, I'm telling you. It's hopefully we'll be through these days before too long.
That's what we all keep hoping for. And TG, for you, has this last year been challenging as far as trying to keep your mind straight, keep inspiration for music, or maybe has the music kind of helped you keep the mental stability as well?
Well, it's been a tough year. There's no doubt about that, Cameron. It's afforded me a luxury of spending more time at home with my wife, Kelly Lang. Most people know her as a great singer, songwriter. My children, I got a chance to spend more time with them. And then I do my radio show on Sirius XM Radio every Friday on Elvis Radio, the T.G. Shepherd Show. So that enabled me to stay a little bit busy with that, but it's been a tough time for sure. There's no doubt about that, but I'm starting to venture back out now and do some shows.
And speaking of some new music, I'm a Song. I know you had the chance to perform this on Huckabee and the latest single for you, TG, having a new project out there. I mean, how excited are you about the new single?
Well, I'm really excited to have new music. Of course, this album, Midnight in Memphis, the single is from that album, which was released this past year. The new cut from the album, I'm a Song, was timely for me because, you know, we've lost so many great performers and singers this year, and they were all dear friends of mine, like Joe Diffie and Kenny Rogers and Charlie Pride and Charlie Daniels and Mac Davis and KT Osland. It was such a crushing year for me losing those friends that I felt it was timely to release this song because it's from the song's perspective that long after the singer and the entertainer is gone, the music lives on. So it was an appropriate time.
And for you, how much different has the process had to be on the recording and release this time around?
Well, it's gotten, I think, easier to record. I mean, heck, you can almost cut an album in your bathroom these days. I mean, technology has moved so far and advanced so much that it's much easier to make records. They're cleaner. I think what we have to become, we have to be careful of is not to get them too slick to where it doesn't have any feel to it. So I won't let them get too slick. But This time around was much easier for me. Of course, I've recorded albums in the last few years, but this is my first country solo album in 22 years. So, but it's been a lot of fun.
And I know that you also appeared on the Springer Mountain Farms Valentine's special, hosted by Daly and Vincent, and a great group of other artists to be a part of that show as well. How cool, as everybody's having to do things a little different to celebrate Valentine's Day, a little special this time.
Well, it was fun. I got a chance to be on the show, and it aired on Circle TV this week, and it airs this weekend on RFD and Circle TV again. I got a chance to do a duet with my better half, Kelly Lang, and we did a duet from her new album, Old Soul, that she put out. So we did a song called Quando, 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 and it was a lot of fun doing it. We shot it some time ago, about a month and a half, 2 months ago. But it's always fun to be able to do shows with people like Mo Bandy and Jeannie Seely and Sharon White of the Whites and Jimmy Fortune. It was a fun show.
And after as much separation time as we've all had, I mean, how much do you cherish those moments that you get to spend with Jimmy and Mo and Sharon and the others?
You know, I always cherish that, the time that I have with fellow entertainers. I mean, they're all just very dear friends, and I really just love hanging out and hearing their stories and getting caught up.
Now, who has been for you, TG, the artist that has inspired you, that musically has always inspired you and maybe pushed you along a little bit, if you will?
Well, I was inspired in the beginning by, you know, people like, Charlie Rich and Johnny Cash. Of course, I live here in Hendersonville, Tennessee, outside of Nashville, and the old Johnny Cash estate is right down the road from us. But Roy Orbison, I mean, those people are the ones that really made me want to become a singer. But I think as far as country, Ray Price played a very big part after hearing him sing for the first time years and years ago on radio. I knew I had to become a country singer.
And to have the friendships and like you said, having the opportunity to go on Huckabee. Now, does he play along with you? Do you guys get to have a little jam session as well?
Yeah, it's definitely live when we tape the show and do the show. And that's filmed right across the street from where I live here in Hendersonville. And I also want to mention that you can probably see that on tgshepherd.com, as well as pick up a copy of the new album there, keep up with our tour dates, or you can follow me on Twitter or Facebook or on Instagram. But yeah, I'll be glad to autograph a copy to somebody of the new album with the new single if they'll reach out to us and at tgshepherd.com.
That's good stuff. Now, TG, what was the biggest thing that you had to learn in 2021 that you had no idea about coming in?
Gosh, I think patience. I mean, you know, I safe distanced myself from people, but I didn't from the pantry. So, I don't know. I love food. I love good food. Kelly fixes some great meals for us here at the house. I think I learned patience, and I learned a newfound appreciation for what I do. I really have missed being out on the road and doing shows. I mean, that live shows for me it's my life, and to not have done any for a whole year until last week, it was very special last week to get back on stage. I went down to Florida and did a couple of shows, and thankfully I was able to remember the words to the songs. It had been so long since I had sung the songs, but I think patience and a newfound appreciation for singing is what I learned this past year during COVID.
Well, that's good stuff. And again, the new single, be sure and check it out. I'm a Song. Check him out at tgshepherd.com. And TG, I always appreciate the time we have to visit. I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule, and hopefully we can catch up again real soon, my friend.
I hope so too, Cameron. Thank you so much. And, you know, have a great weekend coming up, and stay safe.
Again, thanks to our friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road. Check them out online, smileysbreezyvapes.com, or on their Facebook. If you ever have any questions, they have a huge selection of disposable flavors, the largest in Southwest Oklahoma. They also have new hardware and red basket specials all the time. For more information, send them a text at 580-471-VAPE. All right, guys, our final guest on the podcast today, an inventor. He's also a magician and an author. I'm not sure which one of those we're going to lead with the most today. Andrew Main with us today. And first off, Andrew, thank you so much for taking the time.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's great to be here. Now, virtually.
Yeah. Now, Andrew, the 2020 being what it was, writing a new book and putting it out post-pandemic or mid-pandemic, how much different does it look this go around as opposed to previous ones?
I work from home most of the time. So, they're really, the impact on my schedule, wasn't that much. I mean, a lot of time, watching news and worrying about friends and stuff and, trying to help other people get through things. But to be honest with you, I probably would have stayed home as much normally. So not an exciting answer, not an exciting life.
Now spending time alone, the writing process for you, do you subscribe to sitting down and putting down on paper every day, regardless whether it's doing you much good or do you have a set routine how you write?
Oh, I'm the worst about that. I am most days I don't write. And then when it's time to write, when I have a deadline coming up, I'm like, okay, time to take the things I've been thinking about and put them into some form and sort of work on it. So I tend to be off doing other projects, whether it be, shooting a Discovery Channel special, or I've been spent this last year working with a company called OpenAI on artificial intelligence projects. So, and then it's like, oh, then it's time to write. So that was like, I took a break in the middle of that to stop and write. The book comes out later this year, not this one, but yeah.
Now, how long is a process of writing a book for you? Does it change each time, or do you kind of have a rhythm so far now?
I think a bit, I procrastinate and then finally, get it done. I spend a lot of time thinking about it. And so, my process is I think about it for a while, think about like kind of the angles to it. When I know what my character is, I know what my conflicts are. And then I kind of know what I need to do. Then I outline, and I'll spend a few days, a week or so outlining. And once I do that, the writing happens fast. I mean, it may be a week to 2 weeks to write a book. And then that's pretty much, cause I'm very much into having, if I know my character and I can get my structure down, every time I sit down at the keyboard, I'm just going to write.
Now, what is the stuff that comes to you first? Is it the depth of the character? I mean, is that stuff that you can see at the beginning, or is it just stuff that evolves with the write?
It depends. Like sometimes you might say, for me, like if you have an idea for a great plot, you have to figure out a great character for it and not just plug in a generic character. If I figure out an idea for a great plot, it's only going to be better by having a really strong character that's not quite ready for the challenge, but will adapt to the challenge and be interesting to watch. Or you have an idea for, I do a lot of series. So for a series, I really need to think of a character that I can throw into different situations. With my newest book, Black Coral, the character's Sloane McPherson, and she's a police diver, but she's got this complicated family background. She's becoming a detective. And for her, I have to think about what are her emotional challenges? What are her professional challenges and these other challenges? And where is her growth going to be over several novels? And once I have that, I can sort of say, okay, this story would fit her. What would fit her? What kind of challenge would be good for her?
Now, as far as the imagination part of it, and then bringing that into to reality, as far as the subject material, also Black Coral, like you talk about being a diver. I mean, how much in-depth study do you have to do to prepare yourself as well?
So it's funny because I have this habit where I'll start writing a book because an interest of mine starts to pick up and develop. I wrote a series, The Naturalist, about a computational scientist, and I talked about machine learning And that led me getting into more and more involved in machine learning to now being directly involved in artificial intelligence with The Girl Beneath the Sea, which is the book before Black Coral. That just sort of kind of reinvigorated my interest in diving and going back into scuba. And the next thing you know, I'm talking to somebody at Discovery Channel and I find myself at the bottom of the ocean surrounded by great white sharks. So it's certainly there's a play. It's sort of like you'll see me kind of explore something like, oh, this is interesting. And sometimes the books go there. And then doing that experience for my Discovery Channel special led me to go like, great, now I have a lot of more firsthand experience that I have to put into a book now because, you know, they went out of their way to put me into crazy situations that I think I should probably be figuring out how to use.
So is the writing kind of mirroring the personal life a little bit as far as subject material a bit?
Yeah, I think that's true for most of us. I know writers who are, let's say, people really, let's say, into like historical fiction and whatnot, and they want to write something set in, you know, Scotland in the 15th century. There's probably going to be a trip at some point to there. There's probably going to be some point at which they go into that. And I think that for many of us, our interests are reflected in what we write, and it can be a thing that, and it can be ongoing, they continuously develop, you know, they one fuels the other.
Now in 2020, having to do things, obviously a bit different, and you say you like to do things on your own anyway, what is the biggest thing that you spent a little extra focus on personally this last year?
I mean, to be honest with you, was a lot of work on artificial intelligence and working with, trying to help make it more accessible to people. And it's a thing that as a creative, as a person who's watching our AI blend over into the creative spaces and things being able to do more creatively, that's been a thing that I did a lot of work on as far as like, how do I make this more accessible to people? How do I make this so other people can go in there and work with these tools?
And when you talk about things like that, that like for guys like me, kind of go right over my head a little bit. How realistic is it for folks to be able to have AI in their everyday life in the near future?
Well, I mean, we already do to an extent. You think about if you've used Google Docs lately and you go try to type something and it does, it's predictive and it's correcting. It got really good over the last year or so. It used to be kind of annoying. I'd often turn off spell check or the grammar check because the rules weren't good. It's gotten much better. If you've written an email, it's gotten significantly better. I work with a system called GPT-3 with OpenAI, which is a text generation system that's very, very adept and very smart. You can say, change this from first person to third person, and it can take that text and work in it. And you can use this in an environment that's a lot like a document. You know, you don't have to go in there and code. You can just give it simple instructions. So these things are coming faster than we realize. There's an acceleration there.
Now, we also talked author, inventor, magician. I mean, how does the magician part fit into the whole equation for you?
Or is guy it, who can't keep a job. Yeah. That's what I started off professionally as a young adult. Right out of high school, I started working in resorts and casinos and performing a stage show, did magic overseas. I worked behind the scenes for people like David Copperfield and Penn & Teller. Creating magic and doing other stuff. And then, you know, performing on my own, I had my own series on the A&E network years ago where I did magic and, you know, played pranks on people, which was, you know, fun, maybe a bit sociopathic, but still kind of fun. In magic, a really well-constructed magic effect, there is a conflict and there's a resolution. The resolution is, you know, going to generally involve, you know, some sort of magical thing resolving it. But in a really good magic effect, what should happen is it should feel like a good story. It should be a surprise, but also seem to make the most sense. You know, in a really well-crafted story, you get to the end, like, I never saw it coming, but that's the perfect way for it to end. And magic's the same way.
Now, how have you used the lessons you learned in magic as far as in coming up with new ideas? Are you always trying to make things a little bit better? Is that the inventor in you?
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, I was 12 years old and I went to go see David Copperfield perform and it blew my mind. And I wanted to be part of that world, you know, for a 12 year old kid to see a person on stage with motorcycles and beautiful girls and all that. Like, that's like whatever. I was interested in science and other stuff that just went out the window. I'm like, I want to be that guy. And I didn't know how. I didn't know how to get from, you know, being, you know, some 12 year old kid to just, you know, did it, you know, I think at that point I just moved to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and not understanding, you know, still trying to figure out who my friends are, who I was, whatever, but how to get into the world of magic. And one of the things I thought was, well, he performs so much magic. Somebody has to think of this stuff. And so I made it a habit. First thing I did is, you know, I went home that night as I took out my little journal and I tried to describe everything I saw and figure out how it worked. And then I said I needed to create magic. And so I used to try to create magic tricks every night. I'd pull out a little notebook and try to invent stuff. And, you know, fast forward, it was only a couple years later and I'm sitting backstage with one of David's magic advisors. It was a brilliant guy by the name of Don Wayne, who was a really, really sweet person, just really brilliant, clever magic creator. And he's going through my notebook, giving me advice, telling me how to improve stuff and whatever. And it was because I just sat down every night to do that. And then one day I went to go see a show and I happened to talk to somebody during intermission and I made some comment about some effect or whatever, like, oh, you know, Don Wayne's here. And next thing I know, I get to talk to this person and I start getting into this world little by little.
That's crazy. Now, would you have ever imagined that things that it would have kind of twisted around into so many other open ventures for you in the near future?
I mean, I think we all, every writer I know, we're all kind of schemers. You know, we're all thinking about different stuff. We all have, I don't want to do this because we're creatives because we look at the world around us and maybe there's stuff we like and there's things we want to change. And writing is one way to at least create a blueprint for how it could be different. Not to say that this is what we want things to be, but say like, here's another way to look at this. I'm going to take your reality, take some things and change it, make it differently. And so I saw myself doing something, you know, different things, and I could never figure out what it would be. And here I am today, an adult, and I still trying to do a bunch of different things and can't make up my mind.
With all the tensions in the world, do you think that the writing is going to change in over the next few years as a result of the way things are in the world? Do you see that writing wise, as far as the new books are concerned?
I mean, for me personally or generally?
You personally.
I'm going to keep writing what I want to write. I think the publishing industry is prone to fads and things as other places are, and sometimes for the better, sometimes not. I have a great relationship with my publisher and it's been a really good fit because I think they're kind of, you know, I work with Thomas and Mercer, which is part of Amazon mm-hmm. Publishing, and they were very forward thinking about as far as just, they understand like how much eBooks and audio and all that, how it's growing and whatnot. And that's when I got my start, was as people moved to digital. As far as the tone and content of things, I write my books for everybody. And, you know, I write first person point of view of characters and people who I may not even agree with, people who maybe have different philosophical points of view, but who I love. And I want to sort of share this sort of way of looking at the world. And I'm going to continue doing that. And, you know, whether or not there's going to be people who want to read that, I don't know. But, you know, I like to walk in other people. I like to see at least what it's like to walk in other people's shoes. And I try to do that with my characters.
And what is feedback like for you now as opposed to the first time you had to read a review of your work?
You know, most of it gets filtered to me. Like I said, you know, my you know, the publicist will send me stuff and I'm always generally gonna get good stuff. So I would say that I learned how to be a fairly good critic of my own writing, and so I've never really been caught off guard. And one of the things I do for anybody who writes out there, the thing that helped me a lot was I would get to the end of a book and I wouldn't know if it was good or not. And we all know that feeling. And I had a problem where I was writing the second book in my Jessica Blackwood series, and it was my sophomore published book. And I knew that sophomore books from authors tend to falter. There tend to be a lot of problems. It's often an author spends years working on this one book. Then they get a publishing contract and 18 months later, they're supposed to deliver some masterpiece. And what I decided to do was to put my effort in making sure the book didn't suck, focusing really hard on character, focusing really hard on plot. I finished it, and then I was unsure if it was good or not. And I went back and I rewrote the entire book, same one paragraph description, but completely different way to go about it, completely different structure, outline, everything. And then I gave both to my agent, and she said, polite. I was like, she didn't say this literally, which is like, you're an idiot. Like, your first one's great. She didn't say that, but it was like that. Like, your first one was great, you know? And I'm like, why didn't I know it was good? And because you don't can't smoke that things are great. I don't, you know, you can't plan great, but you can plan good. And I did everything I was supposed to do, but I was sort of numb at the end. And I realized, okay, how should I have known? And I realized that at the beginning of the book, I set out to do several things and I did those. So now when I write a book, I sit down and I write a mission statement. And that book, by the way, went on to get like was a Thriller Award finalist and whatnot. You know, it was crazy. And you know, there was a reaction, got better reviews than the first one. So something worked. So what I do now is I write a mission statement with each book. This is what I want my character to go through. This is how many big plot moments I want to have. You know, these are the kind of reveals I want to have. This is what I want to have happen at the end, the stakes. That's before I get to the outline. I mean, just this little mission statement. This is what I want you to feel. I want you to be scared several times throughout. I want you to be excited a couple times. I write that down and then go write the book and I go check my mission statement. And, you know, fortunately, the reaction for my books has, you know, been good. But when some have been stronger than others, it was because I really nailed that mission statement. And I can kind of predict like how the response is going to be.
And again, the new book, Black Coral. If folks want to find more information, not only about the book, but all the rest of the works that you've got available as well, Andrew, where's the best place to keep up with everything?
AndrewMayne.com. That's MAYNE. So you can go there. I think I just started using Substack. We'll see how that works. So you can sign up for my email list there. And I'm also on Twitter at Andrew Mayne. I'm very active on Twitter. If you at reply me, don't like DMs. It's all about people trying to sell me sunglasses. But if you at reply me, I try to be pretty responsive. And periodically I hop in and I do live streams and talk about writing and share experiences.
All right. Well, Andrew, it's been great to visit with you. Appreciate you taking some time this afternoon. Hope you have a great weekend, and hopefully we'll catch up again real soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks again for joining me for this episode of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. If you ever have a comment, question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, feel free to click the support tab and follow the instructions. If you have a special guest idea, email me, gqwithcam@gmail.com. Again, thanks to our friend Brandon Allen for coming up with the theme music for Good Questions with Cameron Dole. We're going to let him play us out. Hope you guys have a great weekend. Join me back here Monday for episode 23.